wonder what the word holiness means to you. It's a bit of a funny one, isn't it? I grew up not being told about holiness at all, but my mum and dad's generation had been told about holiness and it hadn't always gone that well. If I asked you the question, how are you doing at being holy? What would you say? What do you feel like? Is it like one of those awkward moments when you walk past a police officer and immediately feel guilty but you don't know why? Because you didn't think you'd done anything, but maybe you have. How are you doing at being holy? I love the word holiness, but my understanding of it, it shapes everything, right from how we share Jesus with our friends, to why it's amazing and terrifying and worth it to be in the presence of God in the first place. See, in the Old Testament, in fact, in Leviticus 19, God starts this call that still echoes through history. He says to his people, "Be holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy." Be holy, this sense of being something. What does it mean? Now, holiness is really difficult to define because it's basically God. It's the essence of God himself. It's his first name, Holy Spirit. So what is being holy? Well, I think holiness is the transformational presence of God in us, amongst us, that then works through us and spills out into the world. I don't think being holy is about following a list of rules until you look perfect, pure, squeaky clean, and everyone goes, "Well, that's a holy person. That's a perfect Christian." That doesn't even exist. Holiness isn't even mine. I am not holy, but God is holy. And when I get around God, when I join in what God's up to, when I seek my Father, when I follow Jesus, I find, caught up in God's presence, the Holy Spirit, I am being made holy as he is holy. My friend Calvin Samuel's a theologian from Antigua, and he's got this really helpful analogy for holiness that I think might help you too. Some people can see holiness like a pair of white skinny jeans. It's something pure, white, precious, and very easy to get dirty. If you're wearing white skinny jeans, you've got to be careful where you sit, what you eat, what you touch, because you've got to keep your whites white. If people see holiness like white skinny jeans, you're very cautious not to do the wrong thing in case you mess your whites up. Holiness is fragile, delicate, shiny, but a bit too perfect. What if holiness isn't the white skinny jeans? What if holiness is the bleaching agent that made the jeans white in the first place? What if holiness is that thing that you pour out on dirt and it shines everything up? Suddenly, holiness isn't something special and protected. You're like, "Oh my goodness, don't touch it." Holiness becomes this transformative presence that you go, "Pour this thing out where it's needed the most." Bleach is dangerous. If you spill that on your blue jeans, you're in big trouble. You've changed your trousers forever. What if holiness is meant to be shared? What if holiness is meant to be spotted in the most dark places where the light and salt and goodness of God can most clearly be seen? This changes the way that we approach this "be holy as I am holy" invitation. Suddenly, you're not afraid to hang out with people that don't know Jesus, that they might make you dirty, taint you, ruin your jeans. Instead, you pray, "Holy Spirit, fill me, that my presence amongst my friends might be transformative, that people might sense the presence of Jesus in my words, my actions, and the fact that the Spirit of God and the fire of God lives in me." We're not afraid anymore of doing the wrong thing in case we've broken our holiness. No, we stand in God's presence and say, "God, make me like daughter, like son, like father, like daughter. Father, make me like you. Make me holy that I might be holy." And holiness, it spreads everywhere. In your friendship groups, in the way you speak, in the what you do with your money, it changes workplaces. Suddenly, if holiness is transformative, this thing spills out. And we start doing works of justice. We start standing up for the oppressed. We start noticing what doesn't look holy, but the essence of God would change that situation. Holiness gets everywhere, and it's really good news. So I encourage you, don't think too much about holiness being a list of rules that you can't really follow. Talk to Jesus. What does it mean to be holy as you are holy, God? What does it mean to be full of the Holy Spirit? And God, if my heart is a house and you want to make home in me, How do you want this house to be? How do you want me to create an environment in my heart that you feel at home at? That's when we start cleaning up the house. Not because we have to, but because we so want the Holy Spirit to be at home in us. So be holy as I am holy. A wonderful invitation from the Old Testament, echoed all the way through to the New Testament. Something Jesus took so seriously, but he saw it as transformative. And anyone that came into contact with Holy Spirit, they had a response and a reaction too. So go spill bleach everywhere. Not really, don't really do that. But don't worry too much about your white skinny jeans. Worry more about standing in the presence of God and then see what he does in you and through you and out into the world. Go be holy.
So we're entering into a time of the year that I'd like to do a sermon series on holiness. And this is that topic in which some may have heard of that word before. If you've been around a Wesleyan church your whole life, you may have heard this word a time or two. We're a holiness denomination. The Wesleyan Church has historically been ingrained in this word and this philosophy or theology, if you will, of holiness. And it's a part of this word that I so appreciate. This theology is something that is the reason why I'm a Wesleyan pastor. The reason why I'm a Wesleyan. The reason why I attend a Wesleyan church. And since I was age 12, I've been a Wesleyan because I was taught about holiness, biblical holiness. This idea where understanding that there is so much more in our Christian faith, so much more in the journey that we are on called holiness. There's so much more than just coming to church and attending. There's so much more than just simply saying I'm a Christian or I'm a churchgoer. So much more to this relationship with Jesus than I've ever really experienced as a person who is just saying, well, I'm saved and I'm good. And so we're going to develop this as we think about it. We're going to stretch our thoughts. We're going to kind of stretch our maybe our preconceived notions of what it truly means to be a Christian that is moving forward in holiness. Because I'm going to challenge our thoughts. I'm going to challenge our theology. We're going to challenge the idea of our laid-back Christian laissez-faire idea of I'm saved and so are you. Let's live life and be merry. You see, there's something deeper. There's something that will stretch us. And that's this word, holiness. And the striving for more and a deeper relationship in the Holy Spirit. And so we talk about, she was alluding to the scripture. And I want to take a look at 1 Peter chapter 1. It's found in the New Testament. We're in this part, it's interesting. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 through 16, it says, "But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy." I mean, that's pretty clear. You must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. Verse 16, "For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy." And so I love how she, in the video, she defined that. The holiness is wearing your white jeans, and we feel sometimes as Christians that it's our duty to make ourselves holy and to keep ourselves pure, to do, to keep ourselves clean from blemish. Well, yeah, of course, there's our part in this whole thing of making sure that we're doing the right thing and keeping the discipline and all that good stuff, but understanding that the holiness factor comes from God alone. That God is that bleach to your whites. God is that agent that comes in and says, I'm going to cleanse you of all unrighteousness, of all filth, of all stain. And so when we think of 1 Peter chapter 1, when we see this, we're kind of looking at it like, oh my goodness, how on earth could I remain holy? I mean, you know, look at yourself in the mirror. How can we be holy? We're horrible, rotten, sinning people, right? Shake your heads, yes. We're completely unrighteous. We make mistakes. And I know the closer and closer I get to God, in my relationship with Him, the closer I get with Him, the more I realize what a horrible, sinning person I am. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that as I get closer to him, his holiness becomes more apparent. And my ugliness becomes more apparent. And I look at him, I look at God, and I think, wow, I'm not measuring up. There's nothing I can do. I could never measure up to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 through 16. Be holy. Be holy in everything you do, just because God, who chose you, is holy. And so there's this idea where, you know, we kind of give up, right? Like, there's no way I can measure up. And so we just say, oh, whatever. I'm just going to give up. How can we possibly be holy? Well, we're going to define that. We're going to kind of get into it. And we're gonna hopefully help some of your questions. And so, defining holiness. How do we define holiness? Holiness is loving God with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving my neighbor as myself. Simply put, holiness is Christ-likeness, being Christ-like. You see, if you observe like some people who've been married for a long time, we were at Brandon's wedding last night. And on the dance floor where, you know, they do that thing where all of the married couples come together. All the married couples come together and dance, and they dance. And then all of a sudden the DJ's like, okay, if you've been married for like a day, leave the dance floor. So, of course, Brandon and Madison leave the dance floor, and they've just been married like for 2 hours. And then he goes on down the line, if you've been married for 3 years, leave the dance floor. And then some people, newlyweds, kind of go off, and they go sit down, and then he goes 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and now the crowd is thinning, right? You got about maybe 10 couples that are on the dance floor. Rachel and I, we're dancing with pride at that moment. We're saying, oh yeah, oh yeah. They get to 20 years, and we're still there on the dance floor. We're dancing. And then they get to 25 years, and then, oh, we got to go. We've been married for 23 years. But they keep going, and there's still people on the dance floor last night. 30 years, 35, 40, 50 years of marriage. And then finally, they get to 55 years of marriage, and there was one couple left, and the crowd erupts in applause, and it was like, that was so beautiful. It's a fun little game to play. But as you notice, if you notice a married couple, if they've been married for a long time, they start to act like one another. You ever seen that? They start to Dave, why are you laughing, man? What is it, 50-some years for you guys? What is it? Yeah. You start acting like each other. And in some married couples, you start looking like each other. Shirley's like, oh, man, that's not good. Yeah, you start looking like each other. You act and you've been married for so long. You just realize that, you know what, we started doing things, and it just happens. And as the closer we get with Jesus, the closer you and I get with the Lord, the more we act like him. The more we'll read his word and we realize I shouldn't be doing that kind of thing. The closer we get with Christ and our relationship with him, the more we spend time, the more we read his word, the more we follow his commands, is the more we will act like Jesus. And you see, folks, that's just holiness. It's acting like Christ, understanding who he is. And the old habits and the old sinful nature will fall away, and we start getting closer to Jesus, and we start acting like him. See, if you think about it, the more we love God, the more we want to obey him. Right? The more we love God, the more we want to obey him, the more we will love him in our obedience. And so I really think of this disobedient thing. I mean, I'm no stranger to disobedience. Let me just stand up here and say, I am not perfect. I am no stranger to disobeying God. I fall short. I make mistakes. I've messed up in the past. And see, but the more I get closer to him, the more I love him and the more I want to please him in my life, the more I get to know him is the more I want to follow his commands and be obedient. And so love and obedience are intertwined. I take the marriage for example again. You know, the more that you get to know your spouse, and you love that person. You want to please them. You want to honor them. My dad always told me, you never want to sleep with the loser. And then I never understood that what he meant by that until I was married. You never want to go to bed with a loser. You never want to, you know, so when you're arguing, when you're fighting, when you have a disagreement, and you are the winner of that argument, guess what that makes your spouse? The loser. My dad always told me, you never want to go to bed with a loser, do you? You never want to be married to a loser. And I thought, yeah, that makes sense. So I'm continually wanting to lift my wife up. I want to support her. I want to honor her. I want to obey her. She asked me to do something. I want to. And that's the idea between that relationship between us and God. We want to obey him. We want to love him. And we want to continue to grow in relationships. See, that's holiness as we grow. And so that love and obedience are so intertwined. See, holiness is a goal. It's a goal and it's a reality. I know a lot of times, like I said before, and we're going to talk about it maybe next week a little bit during our time together, but understanding that holiness is an absolute reality in this life. I've talked to so many different Christians that simply say, there's no way I could be without sin. And I'm here to say, next week we're going to talk about how to be without sin. You may show up because I said that, or you may leave and go to another church because I said that. But I want you to hear me out. I want you to hear me out next week, because there is a way to be without sin. Think about it. You see, there is a way to be holy. Why would Jesus ask us to be holy like he is holy if there wasn't a way to be holy? The Bible doesn't make sense, right? Wrong. The Bible makes complete sense. And it's a reality. There is a reality about being holy that God calls us to. It's a goal and a reality. You see, of course, we'll never arrive, right? We'll never arrive to perfection. But we have a goal to be holy as he is holy, as Jesus has called us to be holy. You see, there's only one who is perfect, obviously. Jesus was the one who was perfect who walked on this earth. Yet, we still can be made perfect through Jesus' work on the cross. I know this is deep. I know for some of you it's like, what is going on here? Well, hold on, because this whole series we're going to dig deep into this holiness thought and this idea of what has Jesus done for you? What is this idea of the cross and his work on the cross? See, while most of us, let's admit it, most of us, we struggle with a temptation. We struggle with a sin in at least one area of our lives, right? I mean, we struggle, whether it's pornography, whether it's gossip, whether it's slander, whether it's greed, whether it's, you name it, we struggle with sin. I never want to be a church that comes together and makes ourselves look so much better than anybody else. Never want to be a people or a Christian that wouldn't welcome in somebody who has blatant sin on the outside, and they come into our church and we look at them and go, oh, look at that horrible sinner. They really need Jesus. I never want to be a church that's like that. It's judgmental and that is completely just condoning and just condescending when somebody walks forth because their sin may be on their outside. Someone were to walk through those doors completely stone drunk or completely high or whatever, I would hope as a church we wouldn't go, oh my goodness, look at that person. Just because their sin may be on their outside. But you see, we all have sin inside. We have something within us that a lot of us do a fantastic job with camouflage. We walk in church and we go, oh, I better just clean up right now because I'm at church. And I'm not going to let anybody know that I'm involved in sin, because guess what they would think of me? You see, most Christians struggle with a temptation in at least one area of their lives. You see, it's possible, however, it is possible to experience the victory and the freedom over that cycle of sin, that cycle of willful sin, willful disobedience in your life. I'll take a look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, I'll start with verse 12. It says, "Dear friends, you've always followed my instructions when I was with you." This is Paul talking to the Philippians. He's like, "You've always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear." Paul says, work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. Verse 13, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." For God is working in you. What a beautiful encouragement. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. It is God within you. He is working in you and giving you the desire. You know what? I remember when I was a teenager. I've shared this plenty of times before, I think, at least here, but maybe in a small group. I remember when I was a teenager, I remember praying the prayer, "God, would you please, just please give me the desire to like you." And I was a Christian kid. I was kind of, you know, I was raised in the church. But I remember it like it was yesterday. Like, I just didn't like God and I could care less. You ever been there before? You guys remember that time in your life? Oh, you guys are awesome. Thanks. I'm the only one in the room. Don't you, you know, you remember those times in life where you just could care less about God? I know some of you have been born in the church and you had to care. But it's that point in our lives where we come to realization that God, I pray for the desire to like you. Not love you, but just give me that desire, please, because I am flat, I am dry, I know I am weak, I know I'm falling short, I'm a complete mess. And I remember those days of just say, "God, would you just please give me the desire, because I could care less." And then this scripture, God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So I don't know about you, if you're out there today, you're just like, "Oh, this holiness thing, I'm here, maybe you're at this point where I was at when I was a teenager. Maybe you don't have to be a teenager, but you could be young in your faith. And understand that we can become holy through the power of Jesus Christ giving us that desire to know what pleases him. I don't know about you, but that's pretty fun. You see, holiness is possible because God's work in our lives. Holiness is possible in your life because of God working in you. So how do we become holy? How do we become holy like he is holy? Well, we're going to unpack this idea, like I said, in a few weeks. We'll really, really try to dig deep in this. But we become holy or we become Christ-like through sanctification. That's another churchy word we'll throw out there. And we'll talk a little bit more about that, like I said, later. But through this word sanctification, it's everything God does in us for us to be more like him. And it's this word sanctify, to cleanse, to set apart, to be holy. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 and 11, "In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Jesus Christ. So after you've suffered for a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. All the power be to him forever." You see, God's kind. He's patient, isn't he? I mean, look at me. He's patient with me. He's been patient with you. And in our sinfulness, in our disobedience, he's patient, he's kind. He's called us to share in his eternal glory, which is what? Heaven, eternal life, by the means of Christ Jesus. So after you've suffered a little while, he will restore you, he will support and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. You see, that's a promise from Scripture. So if you're feeling discouraged today, if you're feeling just completely out of it, understand the promises of Scripture that this is a promise. He will restore you. If you call out to him, he will be there for you. Even if you're feeling unsettled, even if you're feeling weak, unsure, incomplete. See, God is still at work. And just because you're here today or you're listening online, watching on Facebook, I mean, God still has something for you. He wants you to be in a relationship with him. So out of his amazing kindness, he will restore you. And that is beautiful when we think of holiness. I'm going to invite the band to come on up, and we're gonna kind of close our time out together. And I want to just encourage you during this time. Maybe you're in that area where I was, like I just don't have the desire. I could care less. You know, maybe you're like, I really like my sin. I'm good with it. I get it. I understand. I mean, that's fine. I mean, sin is enjoyable. I mean, sin is like, that's our nature. It's who we are. But maybe you just need to be like, okay, I know I need a change. I know I need holiness in my life. I know I need to be holy as God is holy, has called me to something deeper in him. Maybe you're there. Maybe this is the time where you just simply pray, God, would you please just give me the desire? I've lost it. I've lost that desire. I've lost that desire for you. Maybe you're in the room today or you're watching on Facebook and you're just simply saying, God, would you just give me a passion again for you? Maybe you're in here today and you're saying, yeah, I'm secure in my salvation, and that's fantastic. We celebrate that. We can be secure in our salvation. We don't need the devil to knock on our door and go, you're not saved. You're not saved. You're not saved. That's just the devil's lie. I'm not saying that today. But maybe in here today you're saying, I know that I need to go deeper in my relationship with God. And I know the avenue is holiness. I know the avenue is deepening my relationship with him through obedience. And so maybe you just need to kind of do some work today. I just want us to, as a church, I really do, I want us to kind of hold on and kind of buckle our seatbelts, because these next couple weeks are going to be fun. They're going to be interesting, talking about holiness. And my prayer is that it challenges all of us, myself included, that we need to go deeper and deeper into our relationship with Jesus. And so let's let that be our prayer today. If you want to come forward, if you said yes to any one of those questions, and you want to come forward, I mean, and just come and like symbolically come and kneel at the altar, that's okay. That's fine. I think sometimes we need to get out of our comfort zone and say, God, I want to make a commitment to you right now through prayer, but I got to get out of my comfort zone and just come forward. If that's you, that's all right. And if there's not enough room on this part of the stage, you can come up here or you can come and kneel in front. But if you'd like to come during this next song, I would encourage you to do so. If you're just sitting there going, I need more of God, I am in a rut, I need the holiness of God to come into my life, now's the time. Can we all stand together? Let's just sing this next song. And if you feel led, if you feel that God's calling you, just come forward. And just as a symbolic way of saying, God, I sacrifice, I obey. You're calling me to do something different. And making a commitment publicly before all of us and before God. Would you come?